This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour two of the program. Thanks for listening tonight. Glad you're here. Saints and the Jets on Saturday in their third preseason tune-up. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk more about potential roster cutdowns. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll at WWL.com right now. Which of the receivers on the roster is least likely to make the final 53? Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood, Emmanuel Butler, LJ Humphrey. You might have two of those guys making the roster. Might have two. Not going to have three with the way this numbers game is working. That means a couple, two, three receivers are going to be playing on NFL rosters elsewhere because you're not sneaking the guys that don't make the Saints' final roster from that group onto their practice squad. They'll be scooped up by waivers by a slew of teams in a heartbeat. Cast your vote at WWL.com or the radio.com app. We'll keep an eye there. A little later this hour, we'll also recap what happened today in the Little League World Series. Again, Louisiana, the team just outside of New Orleans in River Ridge, they 10-run shutout, the team for Virginia, so they have advanced into the United States Championship game that'll be tomorrow at 2:30. It's pretty special stuff. But right now, it's time to go inside NFL training camp. And let's bring on in Jay Skursky, who covers the Bills for BuffaloNews.com, at Jay Skursky on Twitter. Jay, what's going on tonight?
Oh, not too much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Let's start with I usually start with the quarterback. But what I want to know here first is Ed Oliver, who was really a topic of hot discussion. I mean, of course, he sat out most of the season at Houston. Everybody knew he was going to be a top draft pick. He was in Buffalo. How's he looked?
You know, he's looked great. I mean, it took him about all two or three training camp practices to enter the starting lineup. And he's been a mainstay there ever since. And I think, you know, Bills fans are legitimately excited about what Ed Oliver can bring to this defense. And, you know, you look at, you know, he's brought in to replace Kyle Williams, a Louisiana guy, big shoes to fill, and he has stepped in right away. And I think, you know, there's a reason to be excited about what Ed Oliver can bring to this defense. When you look at what he was able to do at Houston, you know, three-time All-American, you know, as I said, I mean, he might be a little bit undersized for his position, but he is, you know, he's been as advertised, I guess, as the ninth overall draft pick. You know, there was a lot expected of him, and to this point, he's lived up to that.
You know, he was kind of a guy that Sean McDermott's trying to rebuild this defense around. Sean McDermott, for those who don't know, he was on Ron Rivera's staff in Carolina and helped Ron really mold those Carolina defenses during his tenure. They're some of the best in the NFL. Is he trying to make this kind of a Carolina 2.0 with great defense and, you know, a quarterback and an offense that kind of can play off of that, Jay?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I mean, you look at Ed Oliver is filling kind of that K'Wan Short role from Carolina. And then, you know, at linebacker, you look at Tremaine Edmonds, the Bills' second-year linebacker, as trying to be that Luke Kuechly type. And, the secondary here in Buffalo is really, really strong. That was a sort of a staple of Sean McDermott's defenses in Carolina, but you're right. And, you know, I think the big comparison, though, when you talk about Carolina to Buffalo is at quarterback. And, you know, Cam Newton, what he was able to do with the Panthers and what Josh Allen's strengths are and, you know, and really physical attributes, I think those compare really favorably. And so I think that's when, you know, you talk about the Carolina to Buffalo connection and pipeline, and it's not just Sean McDermott. It's Brandon Bean, the general manager. It's several players. But to me, it boils down to those two things, the defensive system that they're running and then the quarterback that they're employing. And I feel like there's a lot of similarities between what Cam Newton is and what Josh Allen might be able to become.
I'm so intrigued watching Josh Allen's progression because there were so many haters out there nationally just bagging on this pick, bagging on his rookie year. Admittedly, he had a rocky start, but he's looked pretty good this preseason, 9 of 11 against Carolina, against the Colts. What was he, 6 of 11, 66 yards? Seems like he's having a pretty good second preseason.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, You know, I think he was rushed into the lineup, quite frankly. Nathan Peterman, who was named the starting quarterback last year for the Bills, struggled mightily, as anybody who knows anything about Nathan Peterman will be able to tell you. And the Bills basically had no choice. They had to play Josh Allen. And it didn't go well early in the season, quite frankly. And then he suffers an injury. It's an elbow sprain. It keeps him out for about a month. But he comes back for the final five games of last year and really starts to put it together. And I think, you know, showed a lot in those final five games. He had the opportunity to learn behind Derek Anderson, learn behind Matt Barkley. And I think that really benefited him. And he's been able to carry that over into this preseason, into this training camp. And, you know, you mentioned it there, you know, the last week against Carolina, I thought was his best performance and really showed a lot of positive signs. And I think people, we talk about Ed Oliver and kind of capturing the imagination of Bills fans. Josh Allen has absolutely done that. I mean, people are on board with Josh Allen. We have to see, you know, if he can live up to it. But so far, so good in his second year. I think there's reason to be legitimately excited about what he can do.
We're talking to Jay Skursky inside Bills training camp. Jay covers the Bills for BuffaloNews.com. How are the weapons around Allen on offense?
Well, they've improved them. I mean, you know, you look at bringing in a guy like Cole Beasley from the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to be, I think, Josh Allen's favorite target working out of the slot. And then they bring in a guy like John Brown from the Baltimore Ravens. He's going to be kind of that deep threat option. You've still got LeSean McCoy here. You've added to running back with Frank Gore, a veteran who, even at 35, 36 years old this season, has shown that he's able to get it done. And then you draft a running back in the third round in Devin Singletary. And we've seen that, you know, you can find running backs in the third round. You know, you look at New Orleans, for example, with Alvin Kamara. And I'm not saying that Devin Singletary is going to be Alvin Kamara, but the point is that you can find players there. So they've absolutely added around Josh Allen. And I should mention, they've entirely rebuilt the offensive line. There's only one returning starter. That's Deion Dawkins at left tackle at offensive line. So they knew they needed to get better up front. They knew they needed to add weapons at wide receiver and at running back. At tight end, same thing. They've done that. So they've completely retooled this offense around Josh Allen. It was all in the plan all along, and this goes back to the day after the 2018 season ended, was, hey, we know we need to get better around Josh Allen. They've set out to try to do that.
I'm glad you mentioned Frank Gore there, because in my mind, he may be the most underrated running back in NFL history. I think he's a lock for a Hall of Fame. He played in Miami last year, and they kind of limited his snaps, but you know this, Jay. On a per-snap basis, he had maybe the best year he's had this decade, certainly one of them. They think they can get more out of Frank Gore, who's approaching 15,000 yards rushing in his career?
Yeah, I mean, well, there's no question. He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer, and you're right. I mean, he goes down to Miami. It's his hometown. Special for him to play there, and he's better than Kenyon Drake, their young running back out of Alabama, and basically takes the job and says, no, I'm going to be the starter here. And if Frank Gore was on the Bills last year, I think it would be really, really interesting to would he have been able to unseat LeSean McCoy. And that's kind of the situation that we're looking at right now. LeSean McCoy is a guy that, you know, I think traditionally, you know, fantasy owners and people around the NFL know the name, but LeSean McCoy, quite frankly, did not have a great year last year. Can Frank Gore come in and sort of wrestle some of those carries away from him? I think it's totally possible. He is on only a one-year contract, but I will say that he's already made an impact in terms of the leadership that he brings into the locker room. And I think it'll be really, really interesting to see how they divvy up carries between LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, and as I mentioned, Devin Singletary, who was taken in the third round and who's going to get some work for this offense.
So finally, Vegas has the Bills' win total over under at 6.5. They won six games last year. The first six games on the Bills' schedule, only one playoff team involved there, I believe, and that's New England. Is this a season maybe where the Bills could be one of those surprise teams in the NFL?
Something would go really, really wrong if they're underneath that win total. I mean, I picked them at 9-7 when the schedule came out, and I've sort of stayed by that really up to this point. I think that this is a team that should be – I'm not going to sit here and tell you tonight that they're a playoff team, but I think that they should be in the running. And when I say that, I mean deep into December to be a playoff type of a team. So that means – 8-8, 9-7, maybe if things go right, 10-6. That's where I have them in that range. If they only win 5 or 6 games, something has went terribly wrong for this team.
Now, I'm curious, Jay, is the fan base there just as passionate as it always has been, even through this real tough run the last couple of decades?
Oh, God. Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, yeah, Bills Mafia is, and I think they might be more excited, this year and even last year, going back to when they drafted Josh Allen. But people are on board with Josh Allen. Bills fans are really, really excited about what he can do. And I do think, you know, obviously playing in the division with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, you're always sort of, you know, competing for second place in that division. But I do think that people see the end of the Patriots' sort of dominance not that far down the road. And, you know, the expectation or the hope, at least, that Josh Allen can get the Bills into that position where they're competing for AFC East titles and divisional titles not so far down the road.
We will keep an eye on it down here in New Orleans. J.J. Skirsky, who covers the Bills for BuffaloNews.com. That's inside Bills training camp. Jay, appreciate the time tonight.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. At Jay Skirsky on Twitter. Give him a follow there. A little later this hour, we go inside the 49ers training camp with Chris Biderman. That's talk about an interesting camp and an interesting year. Jimmy Garoppolo's second year there, Kyle Shanahan's third year, John Lynch's third year. There's always a lot of expectations around 49ers football. They haven't dissipated. Very disappointing last year. We'll see what happens. We'll go inside 49ers camp a little bit later this hour. But right now, back to some Saints talk. And we're going to open up the phone lines for you at 504-260-1870. That's, again, 504-260-1870. You can shoot me a text at 870-870 or tweet at me at Seth Dunlap on Twitter. Logan's behind the glass, our studio producer. I'm Seth. This is The Last Lap on WWL. Yesterday, I had a conversation. Well, I didn't have a conversation. We all had a conversation with Drew Brees after his practice. And we're talking a lot about the receiver cutdowns with the Saints and how tough those are going to be. Saints training camp sound and interviews brought to you by the sound banking of First American Bank, a banking tradition since 1910. I asked Drew, what's it like watching young receivers develop? How do you help them? He responded a couple of different ways. Here's Drew. That was Drew Brees yesterday after practice. Great stuff there. That was before he talked about Austin Carr, those cuts that we played for you all day yesterday. You can find that video and also his press conference in full on our WWL Radio Facebook page. Just check the video section there. We'll take a quick break for CBS News. When we come back, we once again go inside NFL training camp, this time in the NFC to San Francisco. Chris Biderman of the Sacramento Bee joins the show. That's next on The Last Lap. Double dipping inside NFL training camp. We went to Buffalo. And let's go to the opposite coast, the West Coast. We'll check in on the 49ers. And we check in with the 49ers, Chris Biderman, 49ers beat reporter for the Sacramento Bee. He's on Twitter, at Chris Biderman. That's B-I-D-E-R-M-A-N. Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Lots of expectations, I would imagine, there in San Francisco.
You could say that. I mean, the 49ers over these, you know, last 2 years with Kyle Shanahan at the helm have gone 10-22 combined. So the expectation, at least, is to, you know, find themselves in the hunt for a playoff spot and be more competitive in the NFC West, which figures to be a tough division again this season. I mean, I think expectations might have been quelled a little bit with Jimmy Garoppolo's debut in that game on Monday night against the Broncos, where he completed just 1 of 6 passes for no yards and looked a little bit skittish in the pocket in his first action since tearing his ACL last September. But Garoppolo is going to get another crack at it. They hope he can find a rhythm on Saturday, because it's probably going to be the last time he plays in the preseason ahead of Week 1. And obviously the 49ers basically have all their hopes hinging on Garoppolo, so they need him to look like the player they traded for in 2017 when he went, you know, 5-0 as a starter after getting traded from the Patriots. So they do have expectations to compete for a playoff spot. I think people are tired of waiting around for this, you know, rebuilding process. And with the additions of Dee Ford and Nick Bosa along the defensive line, they hope the defense can take a significant step. And if they can do that, then they think they can compete with some of these teams in the NFC West.
Well, with the Garoppolo, easy headlines, clickbait headlines, you know, the 0.0 QB rating that you just mentioned there, but it's a lot more than just about one game with Jimmy. Is this a make-or-break year for his career in San Francisco? If he gets injured again, are they going to have to pull the plug and go a different direction?
It's definitely a possibility. They front-loaded that $137.5 million contract that he signed in 2018. So basically, there's not going to be any dead money, really any significant dead money on his deal if they decide to move on after this season. So yeah, it is kind of a prove it year for Jimmy Garoppolo, because the 49ers were hoping that, you know, that he would have got them into that playoff mix last year. You know, there was so much momentum going into last offseason after acquiring Garoppolo, seeing him go 5-0, being among, you know, the top five quarterbacks at a lot of major statistical categories over that stretch, and then signing him to that contract. The 49ers thought they would be in playoff contention last year. So now they're a year behind schedule because of that injury, and they don't really have time to wait around for Garoppolo anymore. They haven't made the playoffs since 2013. Kyle Shanahan was the fourth coach in 4 years, the first year he was hired. So the fan base is used to winning at a pretty good rate. You think about all these teams in the 80s and 90s, there hasn't been much success since then, particularly, I mean, you move on from Jim Harbaugh, who had one of the most successful starts in NFL history, going to three straight conference title games and a Super Bowl during his first three seasons. That's sort of the expectation around here. The fans want a perennial contender, and the 49ers haven't had that. And so they're hoping Kyle Shanahan can bring that, and it's going to be a dent to Kyle Shanahan's image, I think, if you know, he makes this bet on Garoppolo and it ends up not working out. And so that makes 2019 a really big season for them.
Well, I'll be the only radio host in America probably that asked you about a quarterback behind Garoppolo. We got lots of Southern Miss fans in our audience. Nick Mullins, I've heard good stuff about him in camp. How's he looked?
Mm-hmm. Nick Mullins looks good. Kyle Shanahan said that he thinks Mullins looks better than he did last year. And obviously Mullins going from the practice squad to the active roster to the starting quarterback for the second half of last season, and the team going, I think, 3-5 in his starts. While he looked pretty good, and you know, his very first start, throwing all those touchdowns in that nationally televised game against the Raiders, you know, it was an impressive start for Mullins. And there's, you know, the fan, I don't think that there's much going on inside the building in terms of this line of thinking, but there are fans out there who believe that maybe Jimmy Garoppolo should have a short hook given how much promise Nick Mullins showed. But I'm not personally in that camp. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is certainly a tier or two above the other two guys, Nick Mullins and C.J. Beathard. But Mullins has been a really good story for the 49ers. They've had issues at quarterback. They've had three starting quarterbacks the last two seasons. And aside from Garoppolo's 2017 run after first getting traded to San Francisco, Mullins' run late last season is probably the best stretch the 49ers have had under center aside from that. So to go from, you know, an undrafted rookie to spending his first season on the practice squad to starting meaningful games and playing pretty well, I think Nick Mullins is certainly going to be a popular name, particularly if Jimmy Garoppolo struggles again on Saturday. But yeah, no, he looks good. He has a good grasp of the offense, and he has good leadership qualities. He's the type of guy who, I mean, in the preseason opener, you know, he broke the team down with you know, sort of a motivational speech to get everybody going. And everyone talks about, you know, the intangibles that Mullins has. He doesn't have the strongest arm, or, you know, he's not the most gifted physically. But he has the intangibles, he knows the offense, and he has the trust of his teammates, which is a big thing for a young guy coming from where he came from.
Good stuff there on Mullins and the 49ers. Chris Biderman of the Sacramento Bee with us, at Chris Biderman on Twitter. It is interesting, Chris, that it sounds like the backup quarterback is always the most beloved player on a roster anywhere. I mean, here, it's Taysom Hill talk every day, and we have a Hall of Fame guy at the top of our roster.
Yeah.
So I can't get away from it. Can't get away from it, man. Defensive line, they've heavily invested in, the 49ers have, and it's so interesting that this is, to me, from the outside in, almost kind of a carbon copy, a blueprint they took from the Nolan Singletary eras right before Harbaugh, when they invested so many picks, first-round picks on that defense, and finally under Harbaugh, they kind of flourished. So they got Dee Ford, Eric Armstead, DeForest Buckner, Solomon Thomas, Nick Bosa, first-round guys everywhere on that defense. Are they going to be good? Are they going to have developed, those guys that have been in the league 2, 3, 4 years, now where they're going to be real solid in a force in that division, in that conference?
Yeah, the only guy you can really feel comfortable about being a very high-level player on a consistent basis is DeForest Buckner, their defensive tackle, who's entering his fourth season and is probably going to get cashed out next offseason with a really big contract. I'm guessing something close to quarterback money, maybe $17, $18 million a year, depending on what kind of season he puts together here. But Nick Bosa looked like, you know, one of the best players on the team immediately at the start of training camp. And he caught the attention of left tackle Joe Staley, who's the longest tenured player on the team and a six-time Pro Bowler. And you know, Staley had a lot of good things to say about Bosa, and Staley isn't typically one to, you know, to lie to us in the media and just gas guys up when it's unnecessary. He really believes that Bosa is the real deal. The problem is Bosa sprained his ankle. Somebody fell on him during training camp, and he's in danger of missing time early in the season. He might not come back till week three or four. So obviously, you know, coming out of the draft, Bosa had a lot of questions about durability. So I think the talent's definitely there to maybe be a Pro Bowler, an all-pro type player down the road, but we don't know how durable he's going to be, and obviously that's a huge factor. Dee Ford is also on the shelf. He's dealing with knee tendonitis. The 49ers are not worried about him missing time in the regular season. They're keeping him on the shelf mostly as a precaution, and it's not like his role is really all that complicated. He's going to be tasked with getting after the quarterback, which he's pretty familiar with, but Dee Ford's coming off. You know, he's had two back surgeries in his past, and knee tendonitis obviously isn't a great sign, but it's also an opportunity for the 49ers to allow him not to incur any wear and tear in August. But yeah, the defensive line is, you know, they're projecting it to be the strength of the team, and they need it to be really, really good if they want to compete. And they haven't invested nearly as much in the secondary as the defensive line, which is sort of controversial in today's NFL, because you see more and more teams emphasize coverage over pass rush, which is sort of this shift. But the 49ers are going the more traditional route and building up front and working their way back. So they have a lot riding on the defensive line, and there's a lot of talent there. But on paper, it's really good. And if that works out, if they get double-digit sacks from those three guys, from Ford, Bosa, and Buckner, I'd imagine they'd be in pretty good shape.
The expectations there, like you said, they're high, but that is a tough division, Chris. Of course, with the Rams, the Seahawks are a playoff team. What, six out of the last 7 years? They were last year. You got the number one pick and a new head coach in Arizona. Is this a division? I guess maybe it's similar for the 49ers like it is for Atlanta and Carolina in this division in the NFC South, where the division's so tough, the conference is so tough that it's hard to meet expectations. Is it possible there in San Francisco objectively?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot has to go right. They're going to have to get their guys healthy. They're going to need Jimmy Garoppolo to sort of, you know, return to that pre-injury form, which is obviously the biggest question mark facing them right now. But, I mean, I would expect the Rams to take a step back. Jared Goff, maybe the Patriots sort of created a blueprint in the Super Bowl to limit Sean McVay's offense. I think Seattle's kind of going through an identity shift, just in terms of, you know, they had that defense, they had the Legion of Boom, and you know, now it's more or less Russell Wilson's team. And so are they going to be able to transition that way to be an offensive-oriented team instead of that, you know, ground-and-pound, defense-oriented, special teams type team that they've been? And maybe they can do that. I actually think Wilson is a sleeper MVP candidate. You see the odds out there, 25-1, I think. That's kind of enticing given the fact that they're going to put a lot more on his shoulders and the defense isn't going to be as good. And if the Rams do take a step back, you look at Seattle as that team that you know, could be in the driver's seat for the division if anything bad were to happen in L.A. And the 49ers could be in that mix too. Like I said, they have a lot riding on Jimmy Garoppolo, and they know the ceiling is high with him when he played at his absolute best in 2017, but they don't know if he's going to get back there again. And they don't know if they're going to be healthy enough. Injuries have really been a problem for this team the last 2 years, and they continue to be a problem right now heading into the season. So, you look at Arizona, and that's really the toughest team to figure out, because we have no idea what Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury's offense is going to look like at this level. We know, you know, it worked a lot. Kingsbury's offense worked in the Big 12, but we also know that Kingsbury got fired for not winning enough games at Texas Tech. So, it was an interesting hire, to be sure, and I would imagine that they're going to be an exciting offense to watch. But it's really tough to say how close they are to contending, to being a winning team. You have questions about Arizona's offensive line. You certainly have questions about their talent on defense. So I guess they're the biggest wild card of the division. But I think you're right in saying that it's sort of similar to the NFC South in that there are a lot of teams sort of bunched closely together, and it really could go you know, I could it wouldn't shock me to see three different teams win that division, whether it's the Rams, the Seahawks, or even the Niners if they you know, lucked into some good health and Jimmy Garoppolo bounced back.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris. Chris Biederman, 49ers reporter for the Sacramento Bee on Twitter, at Chris Biederman. Chris, I apologize if I mispronounce your name there. Lack of professionalism on focus here. I apologize.
It's a strange spelling. It happens all the time. No problem.
I apologize. But great stuff from you. Thanks for your time tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Chris Biederman, at Chris Biederman on Twitter. That's B-I-D-E-R-M-A-N. Give him a follow. Follow the 49ers this year. We'll take a break. Back with your phone calls and texts, 504-260-1870. And our text line is 870-870. The last lap continues on WWL. If you missed it earlier tonight, the Little League World Series team from New Orleans, technically from River Ridge, they 10-run shutout their opponents in the United States semifinals. 10-0 they win that game in five innings. And New Orleans is on to the United States Championship game that'll happen tomorrow at 2:30. And I believe that game should get started on time, pending weather in Williamsport. So Bobby Hebert and Christian Garrick, Deuce McAllister, not sure if Deuce is there tomorrow or not, but at least Bobby and Christian, they will be covering that game for you live, probably about midway through. Real fantastic stuff. What a story. What an incredible story that is right there. Today, Saints player of the day is going to be DeMario Davis. DeMario Davis, who we haven't talked about a lot during camp, really impressive this offseason, both on and off the field. We've got great comments from him on our Facebook page right now at WWL.com, his post-practice press conference, talking about the defense, but also talking about his social justice advocacy. I really suggest, and I really mean this, I suggest every one of you, when you get a chance, go to our Facebook page, a couple of clicks away from most of you. Just go to the video section, and then you'll find DeMario's 9 minutes discussion about all things football and all things off of the field. Who's going places? Yeah, DeMario Davis, brought to you by Toyota dealers. Let's go places. Let's go to James in New Orleans. James, what's going on?
Yes, the guy that you are struggling with his name.
Roussel. Roussel, thank you.
Roussel.
Thank you.
Roussel, yeah, it's a common name. And he's been their stud. Since they got Williamsport, he's had big hits in every game.
I think he's 12 of 14 or something like that, James. It's incredible.
Oh, I don't know his name. I just learned about him from reading the papers and articles and following the things. He's been their big hit guy every game. He's gotten hits in every game in the big hits.
Yeah,
I don't know how many other players, but he's the one I've known.
No, he'd be the MVP. If they have an MVP award, I don't really think they do. They might have an unofficial one there. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but he would be it, no doubt. You having fun like following them? James, pretty cool here, right? Local team, could be Little League World Series champs, and it's a few wins away from that, but still pretty cool, right?
Big time. But, I don't know, 20-something years ago, they had a team from Lafayette that made it, too. They didn't win the whole thing, but they were there. I don't remember when. All I remember, their colors were yellow and green.
Yeah.
They like to say they have designated colors. They don't have much of a choice to wear. Yeah.
Yep. And they're wearing that orange right now as they're the Southwest. Huge, James. There's no doubt about it. Thank you. Yeah, Roussel, as I don't get to watch these games because they're on during my show. So there you go, Roussel. I actually have a friend, Emil Gaucher, who's a friend of the show. He works as an account executive here. Really, a really good friend of mine, going back to when I first got here. And he's family friends with their family. And we're going to see if we can get the Roussel family on, maybe not tomorrow, but if not tomorrow, then early next week. Really appreciate the call, James. Special, special stuff here. And kind of like James alluded to there, they're wearing orange uniforms because each area of the United States, Northeast, Northwest, Midwest, Southeast, South, they all have designated colors. So that green that James referenced, that's when the New Orleans team was in the Southeast division, and the representatives there a couple of decades ago. Now Southwest is New Orleans, and they're wearing those orange uniforms. Kind of like almost Oklahoma State orange, not quite, but kind of in that vicinity. It's not quite, maybe more Auburn orange than Oklahoma State orange. I don't know, Phoenix Suns orange. You got to go check them out. It's an off orange, no doubt about it. But jerseys, regardless, special stuff from that squad. And we're going to follow them through to the end right here on the last lap. One more segment this hour. Give us a call if you want. Thanks for listening, James. 504-260-1870. Our text line is 870-870, and the last lap will continue on WWL. One quick update here. I was told earlier tonight that they play tomorrow. Apparently, that's not the case. It's not tomorrow. So I was just going off kind of what I was told earlier tonight. I want to correct that. It is not tomorrow. It's Saturday at 2:30 p.m., and you're able to watch that on ABC. It's the West versus the Southwest in that one, team from Hawaii. And then, of course, your boys from New Orleans. Again, it's not tomorrow. It's Saturday. So my apologies. Saturday, August 24th at 2:30 p.m. Back after this on The Last Lap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.